Thank you, Rachel, Brother Larry, and my brother I met the other night. What's your first name?
Dale.
Thank you so much. This is a wonderful place. I've been observing you all week. And churches take on the personality of their pastor. And you are servants. It's obvious. And you have been well trained, and thank the Lord for it. Lord willing, tonight I am going to bring a message concerning the relationship with your pastor. So I trust that you'll be back tonight, and we'll look at a New Testament passage that deals with that. But we have been having a wonderful time. Thank you, Pastor, for inviting me to come. I've had the greatest time putting the messages together and praying about what to preach, and it's been a lot of fun. Again, I want to encourage you, if you weren't in the Sunday school hour, if you missed it, had to work, pencil this in, ink it in, and go next year. That place is phenomenal up there in Greenville, Tennessee. I want you to take your Bibles, if you would, please, and find Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. It's wonderful how music helps prepare our heart. We've been talking about trust, and I'm going to be preaching on a passage of Scripture that we all know so very well. We can quote the first two verses of my text. And this message is centered around if Satan can derail us on the two greatest principles of guidance in our life, he will do it. And I want to give you some ammunition to keep from being derailed when it comes to God guiding us. In Proverbs chapter 3, we're given some fantastic words of wisdom. I think that sometimes in their simplicity, we could miss what God is saying. We get so used to whipping them out. We know these verses so well. So this morning, what we want to do is kind of drop an anchor here and look at it from really just two perspectives. One, if we're going to understand God's principles of guidance, we have to do our part. And two, God does his part. And so we have divided this into two parts. And as we unfold it today and look at it, I trust that we will be able to make application to the principles of it. Let's read the text beginning in verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance. We've talked about all this already this morning in our worship service. And with the first fruits of thine increase, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Father, help us as we take the Word of God and lay it open before us in ways that we will be able to see our part, that we would have the courage to believe your Word. And Lord, you have never failed at doing your part. We thank you in advance for what we will learn from your word today. Use it in our midst. We'll thank you for it. In Christ's name, amen. People struggle with application. And the reason that they struggle with application is because it digs its way into our life. And if we are not careful, we can become so used to powerful verses like this that they have no real true meaning in our life. we can quote them and we can tell them to others, but it's almost like we're beyond this now. Because we're beyond this, I'm just going to whip this out and give this counsel. These verses are so important, we can never let them go. We should never get used to them. Now, let me deal first of all with this matter of Bible principle. I want you to think with me this morning. What is a Bible principle? I thought about this in preparing this message. So I wrote down a simple one-line statement. And here's what a Bible principle is. A Bible principle is a moral measurement based on the proper interpretation of the Word of God. The emphasis is on the proper interpretation. No preacher has the privilege of twisting the hermeneutic of a passage of Scripture. That's wicked. No preacher has the liberty to make it say what he wants it to say. You leave it alone in its context. And you allow, how do we interpret Scripture? We interpret Scripture with Scripture. We lay down those truths, and a Bible principle is based and can be pulled out of Scripture because it is a measurement based on our morals or on the morals of the Bible. And because of that, we want to have a proper interpretation. Now, there is a second phase to Bible principle. These measurements establish biblical standards or guidelines, call them what you wish, that keep us in the bounds of Scripture. That is so important. So when we talk about principles from the Scriptures, these moral measurements, they are designed to keep us inside a perimeter. We venture outside that perimeter and we're in trouble. We can't afford to do that. We're believers. We believe in the Bible. We believe that it's God's Word given to us so that we can live by it. And so we trust the Bible. We sang about that. We've heard the offertory about it. You've sang about it in the worship service. Now, these moral measurements that become these standards, they only become those standards if we choose to go beyond interpretation and we obey them. And that is where the rub comes. Because sometimes I don't like what the Bible says. Because I have to change. It demands change. And so you and I, we're either going to be principled by the Bible or you're going to be principled by your own stinking thinking. And I'm going to tell you something, that's not going to be good. When God's Word becomes the standard, now think about this. Here's the third principle about Bible principle. A moral measurement that becomes a guideline through proper interpretation, we're willing to obey, even if it demands change in our life. Now, when God's Word becomes that standard, the Spirit of God that wrote the book lives in us. And He will allow us to develop the principle in our life. So our obedience is hinged upon our relationship with the Spirit of God. Why do we disobey the Bible? We have a relationship problem with our God. Why do we say, all that's good for Sister So-and-so, but not for me? We have a relationship problem. When we will not interpret the Bible correctly and take those moral measurements and make them our guidelines to the point to where we believe them and obey them and are willing to develop them in our own life, even if it demands change, when we are able to do that, God will do his part. And I want to tell you something. He has such a fantastic plan for your life. You don't want to miss anything God wants to give you. This is not pie in the sky. This goes to our needs. This is not just about getting material things. Matter of fact, it's not even about that. Sliver of it. You know what I need more than I need in my retirement fund or in my paycheck? I need his grace every day. I need him to be a part of my life. I need for him to direct my steps. I need to put my trust in this. All those things he will work out. So principles. What does principles do? Principles produce growth. In every area of our life, our faith grows. It's impossible to please him without faith. So our faith grows. Our love for the Bible grows. Where there is no vision, where there is no law of God, where there's no truth, the people perish. You will perish without the Bible. So you need the Bible. You will perish without your pastor's preaching. You need it. It produces vision. Vision is more than just, are we going to have a building program? Oh, no, this vision goes much deeper than that. It's based upon the Word of God. And the verse says, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. You ever wondered why people aren't happy today? It's because they haven't won the lottery. And they're unhappy about that. They spend a lot of those dollars. Happiness is not dependent upon that. If you had all the money you thought you would ever need, it would not be enough. Obedience comes out of these principles. Here's what Paul said, for your obedience has come abroad to me. He said that about the church at Rome. They were an obedient church. Unity comes out of that. Till we all come in the unity of the faith. Sacrifice comes out of that. But ye have all and abound, and I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the thing sent unto you, an odor, sweet smell, a sacrifice, well accepted, well pleasing. It all produces growth in our life. So this growth will help us in our daily lives. Our text reveals the importance of allowing the Lord to manage our lives. Will you let him manage your life? Will you really practice this text? You'll be challenged about it tomorrow. There'll be something in your life come up tomorrow, guarantee you. And you'll be challenged by it. And what will you do? Well, let's look at our part quickly. Our part begins in verse 5. Trust in the Lord. So if you're taking notes, we must rely upon him. Totally, completely. This begins at salvation. Matter of fact, do you know that this word, trust, goes to a carelessness? You're going to be so trusting that it's going to appear that you're cavalier about it. But you're really not. You're really trusting the Lord. And that word goes to us trusting him, the Lord, the self-existing one. David knew what this was all about. I will praise thee, O Lord, David said on one occasion. With my whole heart, I will show forth all thy marvelous works. Do you rely completely upon him? Now, it begins at salvation. Without salvation, you can't build on this verse. You must be saved. You must know for sure that you are saved. And if you are saved, realize that God saved you for a purpose. If you are saved, you can totally rely upon him. And there will be times in your life when you are going to have to rely upon God. It's going to be too big for you to fix. And you're going to have to completely rely upon him. Now, the Lord gives us how we can do that in the next part. Not only do we rely upon him, but we refuse our own reasoning. That's the second thing. Lean not unto thine own understanding, verse 5 says. Drop down to verse 7. Be not wise in thine own eyes. This matter of human wisdom, and that's the word here, understanding. It goes to human wisdom, not divine wisdom. So we need to refuse our own wisdom. I have called it a few times this week our stinking thinking. We have to refuse it. It doesn't work with God. You may hit on something that may work, but that's only by the luck of the draw. Understanding, our human reasoning, is a terrible reasoning factor in our life. That's why he reinforced it in verse 7. Be not wise in thine own eyes. He wants us to get this. So what does he do? He turns it and he says it another way, as he often does. We must remember, God's ways are not our ways. Thirdly, we must respect God and his word. Look at the B part of verse 7. Fear the Lord. That goes to our respect. We are living in a culture today that have absolutely no regard for God whatsoever. And our Supreme Court this week is a beautiful illustration of how not to make a decision. All based upon human reasoning. If the word of God was used, there would have been no need of a vote. But you see, man's ways, so vile and wicked. Just because something is legal doesn't make it right. And you and I, in our lifetime, better be ready. If we really believe that we should be fearing God enough to preach his word and obey his word, we better be ready for a measure of persecution in our lifetime. Fear the Lord. Fearing the Lord is what actually brings honor. It even brings riches in life. Let me give you a fourth thing that's our responsibility, and that is we must reject evil. Look at verse 7, the C part of the verse. Depart from evil. The word depart means that you deliberately do it. You deliberately decide to turn aside, to remove yourself from the sin or the weight that is holding you back. That you are going to make a conscious decision to do the right thing in the midst of pressure, in the midst of maybe perhaps being the only one in the group who's going to say it or depart from it. And those are times of testing. Now, when you really look at these four things that we've discussed already, these things are very personal. These things are deliberate. These are things that God wants us to do out of our respect for the Word of God and our obedience to it. He wants us to practice these principles. He wants us to set up these perimeters. He wants us to do all these things. But then he's not finished with us yet. There is yet another responsibility we have in the text. And it's a key responsibility. And God saved it for last to help us to understand the importance of it. And that is number 5, we must re-gift our resources back to him. Are we really willing to do that? Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of thine increase. Oh, so you've gone from my lifestyle to my pocketbook. You see, this is the test. So honoring God, the word honor in the Hebrew language is the word for burdensome or heavy. It's used in that sense in many ways. But the positive sense of that word is that it means to become wealthy and rich. So we honor the Lord. By honoring the Lord, we have all we need, not just with money and the things that we need in this life, but the spiritual things we need in this life. The idea is to glorify God by giving of our substance, of our first fruits. After all, everything we have belongs to God. Give it back to Him proves that we're trusting Him. This is our part. This is what we must do. We're willing to obey. And to give out of our substance means to give out of our present resources. Well, my well's not very deep. That's okay. God knows how deep your well is. It's not a matter of deep. It's the matter of dedicating yourself to do the right thing. Give of your first fruits. This refers to your giving from the top down. Go out to the top. Don't go to the middle. But go out to the top. Aren't you glad God gave His best for you? Think about it. So the first fruits, those are the things that are first. Do not live your life tight-fisted. It'll be miserable. Let me encourage you, don't just tip the Lord. He's not your waiter at the restaurant. He's your Savior. Think about it. Rely on Him. Refuse to follow your own reasoning. Respect Him because He is holy. Reject evil and re-gift your resources. If we just do that, God will do His part. Wow. Man, I get excited when I get to this part. Because I realize now I have so many needs. Dr. Parker used to say, we're all just a bunch of crooked sticks God uses to draw a straight line with. That is so true. I need Him every hour we sing, don't we, Brother Larry? We need Him. What do we need Him for? All right, let's look at it. Go to verse 6, the B part of the verse. And He shall direct thy path. So number one, He will give us direction. You're going to need direction. Lord, what am I going to do? Where am I going to work? I just lost my job. What am I going to do about paying this hospital bill? My wife is pregnant. How am I going to pay the bill? What am I going to do? You're going to need so much from God, not just from money, but you're going to need so much from God that you do your part, God does His part. He shall direct your ways. Now, the word direct means that He will make straight your way. You know why He needs to make it straight? Because you're on a bad path without Him. We are on a bad path. It's crooked. But He will make it straight. He will make it pleasant. It even goes to this. The meaning of this word even goes, He will make it prosperous. So when you look at the meaning of this word, direct, it's going to help us. In a very hard place, it's going to be straight. In a very difficult time when we're not happy, God's going to bring a pleasantness about us, to us, even prosperity. He will direct thy paths, the well-trodden path of life that we go down, with all of its ups and downs and all of its crookedness, He directs us through all of it. Not only will He direct our lives, but He will strengthen our lives in time of need. Look at verse 8. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Health to thy navel, the nourishment that a baby gets from his mother through the umbilical cord is amazing. And it's needed all those 9 months. And then it's severed. The baby is now able, far enough along in its development, that the baby can now exist on its own, start taking in nourishment. But all through that process, that umbilical cord is so important. All through our life, we need a spiritual umbilical cord. And if we sever it, we cut off the nourishment that we need. We hurt ourselves. We can get bitter over it, angry at God. We can blame God. Now watch this. Life is so full of disappointment and hurt. Why would we want to cut off our spiritual lifeline? Why not let that be health to our navel? Why not let that help us in our time? See, the application is, in this world, we need God's strength. All along the path of life, He wants to give it to us. He knows we're going to be overwhelmed. He knows we're going to face challenges. He knows that persecution is coming. He knows that suffering is coming. It's all a part of His will for our life. You can't read the Bible without seeing there was suffering in every angle of life. Just because we live in the 21st century doesn't mean that we do not have heartache. What are we going to do during those times? Oh, how we need His strength. And we can't cut off what He wants to give us. And He illustrates it through another great truth in the medical field. He talks about it being marrow to our bones. Marrow is to the body what antibiotics is when we get sick. And so we're fighting the disease of sin all the time. We need all the bone marrow we can get to help us. It gives us strength. It allows us to plow through. It keeps us from quitting. We want to develop that faith. It allows us to sacrifice even if it hurts. We know it's right to do. It's a principle based on the Word of God. It's a moral measurement that's right. Let's do this, even if it costs us greatly, and believe God for the results. It's hard to live in the 21st century this way. But God sooner or later gets you on a path so tight and so rough that He will cause you to yield eventually as a believer. Strength. We need direction. We need strength. But look at verse 10. And He gives us all we need. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty. Filled. It's the word in the Hebrew for total satisfaction. Let God be your God and you'll be happy regardless of how deep your well is. You'll be happy because you know you're doing what God wants you to do. And He's giving you all you need. He's making it plenty for you. There will be an abundance when you need it. Direction. Strength. He will give us all that we need. But look again in verse 10, and He will even go above giving to our need. And thy presses shall burst out with new wine. It will break open and freely flow. And freshly squeezed fruit of the vine, how refreshing it is. People who do not do their part seems to always be complaining about the bad juice. How sad that is. Shouldn't be that way. So you and I need God to work in our life. We do our part, God does his part. Are you doing your part today? Just think about it. I mean, these verses are so important, we just cannot flippantly throw them out there. These are the very words of God. And we just can't brush through them. We must be willing to do our part. He is asking us to do our part. He's asking us to do our part as much as he did Eve in the garden. We can choose. As much as he did Peter. And Peter chose. On and on it could go. You and I have to come to a crossroads in our life when we say, God, I am going to actively do my part, knowing that there are principles, knowing there's moral measurements in your word that I must obey. I'm going to put them in my life. I'm going to allow them to change me. I'm going to allow them to change my thinking. And Lord, if I get out of line, I know that I'm your son. And because I know that I'm your son, Rick Arrowood's talking now, I know that you'll chasten me because you love me. And because of that, I'm thankful that I have a Heavenly Father who's willing to always do his part. When I was a kid growing up, my dad was saved in a revival meeting and in an old gravel tabernacle in Macon, Georgia, and Lester Olof was the evangelist that week. My dad's life changed. And he became one of the most godly men that I ever knew. He spent the last 20 years of his life in Bible Memory Association. And he stored up entire chapters and short books of the Bible. I was amazed. He had an 8th grade education. He had a fantastic mind. And he never lost his mind. He lost his life to the battle of cancer, but I was amazed. I went home to see him. He's not doing well. And we sat at the kitchen counter on stools. And he looked at me and he said, son, I just want you to know that God told me he's going to heal me. And boy, in my heart, I said, oh, you know, I don't want my dad to be disappointed. You know, it bothered me that he said that strongly. And his eyes were, they were lit up when he said it. He was in pain when he said it. And I think he could tell the look on my face. He says, now let me explain to you. God's going to heal me either here or there. And he says, I just want you to know, I'd just sooner it be there than here. Boy, it's easy to let your dad go when he says that, you know what? It's easy to understand. And for many years, I saw my dad do his part. You know, he's one of the greatest encouragers in my entire life. But especially after he got saved, and he got saved before I did. And I watched God change my dad's life, and I made my decision because I saw a dad who really put the Lord first in his life. He really did exactly what these verses said. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Would you stand with me, please? With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I want to ask some very personal questions. This is your part of the message. I'm finished with my part. And your part is to respond accordingly. There's no argument here. We need God's word. And today, God saw fit to give us Proverbs 3, 5 through 10. Could there be someone standing here struggling? maybe there's some suffering in your life. Maybe there's some disappointment. Maybe there's some hurt. Will you be willing to examine yourself in light of your part and let God do His part? What burden do you have today? What did you go to bed that was on your mind and it was the first thing you thought of when you got up this morning? What did you pray about the most yesterday? What did God bring to your mind in your prayer life? These are the things that He wants to do His part in. We must be willing to do our part. If you're here today and you're not saved, oh, please, trust Christ today. He died for you. We'll be happy to take an open Bible and show you how you can know for sure that you're saved. If you're not saved, come and be saved today. If you are saved and God is speaking to your heart and He put His finger on a specific, then there is room here for you to respond. There's room for you to do business with the Lord. So the invitation is all inclusive. For salvation, come. For the burden on your heart, come. For a desire to obey, come. To understand principle and put it in your life, come. These moments are precious. Don't let them slip through and you not respond when God is dealing with you. Brother Larry's going to come and lead us in an invitation hymn. And as he does, you step from your place. 480.